was a marching band kid, and I have always loved parades, but I've never been a fan of role play, participating in role play or watching role play, or reenactments. And the Palm Sunday events that I remember from my childhood felt more like that than like genuine parades. That last reason, the fact that it's all about me, is a little embarrassing to admit at the moment, but it's certainly part of why our own congregation's traditions have evolved in such a toned down way. You know, I didn't even have us wave our hosannas. This is my cloak. I'm throwing my cloak for Jesus. I didn't even have us do that this morning, just because it felt funny in this setting. But anyway, there we go. We got some non-noise makers. Yes. Oh, pretty. So many options. Anyway, as I've said, we find ourselves this year in a very different position. A parade wouldn't even really be possible this year. And I have to admit, it almost makes me long for one. There was a move afoot in the Brattleboro Area Interfaith Group to gather this afternoon, each in our own car, and have a procession through town honking and waving at the places where first responders and other frontline workers do their work. The fire department, rescue in the hospital, but also grocery stores and other places that are such lifelines right now. There was great enthusiasm for doing this from some quarters, but I was a little uncomfortable with the idea, and I admit that I was grateful when the police chief responded with a very gracious, "Thank you, but please don't." Please, we know you're grateful. The best way to thank us is to stay home. And I think I was grateful in part because I am not in the mood for a parade. I'm in the mood for connection. I'm practically desperate for us to get together. When I was talking with one of you about could we or couldn't we find a way to manage Easter sunrise, I actually came to tears. It's just so sad to me that we can't do that. I am practically desperate to be together with you again, to hug those of you who like hugs, to sing together unhampered by technology. It would be so meaningful to do our usual thing. I can almost hear us. And you know, this is a loss that the seasonal songs that we miss, like, "All glory loud and honor to the Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring." Or the one that is actually secretly my favorite for the day, "Ride on, ride on in majesty, as crowds of people come to see, and shout hosannas lifting high, their praise for one about to die." And there it is. There is the reason that a parade for Palm Sunday has never quite worked for me. It is because we cannot unknow that which we know. Or at least I can't. I can't quite focus on Palm Sunday in all of its pomp, especially this year, knowing what's to come in the rest of the week. Knowing as we all do that the crowds who shouted Hosanna would later turn into the very same crowd as those who shouted "Crucify Him." There is to this day what an Orthodox priest once called a glittering sadness. A glittering sadness. And that's why the second part of the reading is so helpful to me. The unnamed woman who pours out her precious ointment to give beauty to Jesus, seemingly knowing that he will need it, that he will need beauty. He will need love and generosity. Her outlandish act of intimate connection and over-the-top generosity feels more right to me than ever. Jesus accepts the pomp of the parade. Now, one question is, who is this Jesus who can be fully present for that part of things, knowing what he knows about what's to come? And he also accepts the woman's pouring out for the sake of love, seeing it for the powerful and beautiful act that it is. And that woman, that unnamed woman, whoever she was aware of the glittering sadness too. I don't know about you, but I am tired. I'm tired of Zoom, tired of distance, tired of the four walls of my home, despite the fact that I'm privileged to live in a home that contains a great deal of love, good food, beautiful music. I want to gather with you. I want to sing with you. I want to hug you if you're a hugging person. And I want to pour out precious generosity for you and with you. In this deep fatigue, this Zoom fatigue, the last thing I have heart for is a parade. And the second to last thing I have heart for is a long sermon. Phew, no long sermons here. Nonetheless, I'm not entirely out of messages. I will tell you this, despite the glittering sadness of this day, I believe that we're finding our way to a better path. Actually, I think David raised that in his prayer also, that we find ourselves on the edge of the Jordan and we have the chance to cross over it. Those of us who have walked with Jesus through the days of this strange and frightening and tragic Lent may even be learning something about the way of the cross, about the fact that the only path to resurrection goes straight through the territory of despair, loss, betrayal, abandonment. The way of the cross passes straight through crucifixion and then through the painful pause of Holy Saturday before finally arriving at the dawn of a new day where new life is waiting. And that Holy Saturday, that wasn't the day when the disciples got ready for Easter. They were confused. They were lost. They weren't thinking, if we just get through this, we'll land in resurrection. But we have the benefit of that hindsight. And that new life, that dawn of the new day, it is waiting for us. I can't tell you what it looks like or exactly where we'll find it. But I know in the very depths of my soul that resurrection is what awaits our world. Sarah Miles, she was the author of Take This Bread and also Jesus Freak. She's also the one who introduced me through an essay of hers to that phrase, the glittering sadness, although it wasn't hers. So she wrote a great essay on the website Journey with Jesus, which I recommend. It does some lectionary reflections, but also it has poetry and music and film related essays, politics related essays. Journey with Jesus, look it up. But Sarah Miles wrote several years back describing her situation. She's someone who was a pretty radically atheist lesbian woman in the San Francisco area who, her book Take This Bread, it tells the story of how she one day, for no reason that she was really aware of, wandered into a church and received communion and was changed by it. And she said, back when I first started going to church a dozen years ago, I went around in a daze, as a friend told me later, like a deer caught in the headlights. I had been blindsided by Jesus, who I didn't believe in, but who, to my shock, had shown up anyway, quite alive, in a piece of bread. I used to come to church and sit during the early service, waiting for more bread, and halfway listening to the scriptures or whatever the preacher was saying. I'd stare out the window, gazing at the tangle of green ivy and nasturtiums beyond in a spaced out way. One day, sitting there, I noticed the window frames. They seemed to have a very peculiar construction. Oh, I thought, look at that. It's a cross. You can see a cross over everything. You can see everything through the cross. Wow, there's a cross over the whole world. I was unprepared, she writes, and undeserving and stupid. But there is a cross over the whole world, and you can see everything through it. See the crowds, see the disciples, see Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem, eating supper with friends, stumbling up the hill. And if you let your mind be made in the mind of Christ Jesus, you will stay beside him the whole way. Because you see where all this is going. It's going toward love. It's going toward life. And it cannot be stopped. Ride on, ride on in majesty, for you have set your people free, and we, remembering all your pain, now meet again to hail your reign. Amen.